It's a good day for us today in that Stanley has pleaded guilty for the death of Jasmine Chan. It's a good day because the family now gets some level of closure of a horrific incident, and this saves them having to go through the prolonged process of a trial and all the ambiguity that comes with that. So we're really grateful that we've got an opportunity today. I will say that with a failed stop incident like this, it's a very complex inquiry, and we're really grateful that the public and the media provided such great support right from the start. I have no doubt that that made a significant influence in directing the family and the friends, Mr. Elahi, making it quite clear to everyone who had any knowledge on this that this wasn't a case that was going to go away, and that there had to be a result from it. And that was crucial, so I'm really pleased in relation to that. It's a very sad reflection, though, that the nature of driving on that night wasn't borderline. This was ridiculous driving. This was dangerous driving. This was something that anyone who gave a thought for what might happen or for other people on the road wouldn't have done that. And it's important that the people learn from this and we realise that although the intent is never there to cause the harm, it's a reality. It does happen, and we'd hope that not just the immediate people around Mr. Elahi, but also everyone else who has had any involvement in this incident, reflects on the fact that people do die on the roads because people don't consider what can happen.
How are the family?
It's early days. Whilst they say there's closure, obviously there's still the sentencing to happen. But like you say, it's as much as you can do for Jasmine now. We have to show that we've done what we can in her memory to bring a conviction to the court, and that's been successful. So it gives a level of comfort. It doesn't bring Jasmine back, and that's the reality. So the family are still having to deal day in, day out with their devastating loss, and that won't go away.
How difficult is it to solve a hit and run like this?
There are cases and cases. The bottom line is our role is to produce information, evidence of a standard that can be presented to the court, and each case is different. A death on the road is investigated to the same standard as a murder. We follow what is called the murder manual, so it has numerous lines of inquiry. It's very complex, it's very technical, but it also relies upon the first and primary thing, which is people coming forward and telling us what they've seen, what they've heard, and what they know.
What about this case in particular, right?
This case in particular, it really did start with a blank sheet. There was very little information, and it happened in a part of the city where there wasn't direct coverage of the scene, so you do have to work away from improbable or more remote information and bring that closer together. That said, it was within the early days, within a week or so of the incident, that we got a number of lines of inquiry which gave us the strong indication that Mr. Elahi was responsible. And over the following weeks, we closed up a number of investigation lines, and we were able to focus in and provide the full unequivocal evidence that he was the driver.
How fast was he travelling? I know you said it was ridiculous driving.
The calculations give it in excess of twice the speed limit. It's a 30 mph road, yes, so in excess of that.
Do you know any more about what happened beforehand? Why he was speeding, perhaps?
No, it's very vague in terms of a reason. Like I say, it's in the nature of a fatal collision. People generally do not get in a car with any intent or any knowledge that they're going to be involved in an accident. They don't believe it will happen. And that's the sort of real message from investigating fatal collisions. It's not like other crime where some people will go out with intent to cause harm. In a vehicle, you don't. It happens. It's trying to get the realisation that when you're driving a ton of metal, if you're driving it in a way that isn't safe, you're relying upon other people, other factors, things that you're not in control of, and you may be able to drive in excess of the speed limit a dozen times without there being an incident, it doesn't mean it's safe. You only have to change a few of the variables, some smaller factors. On this occasion, the fact that somebody was crossing the road, and all of a sudden the outcome is so different. So that's the nature of investigating this sort of collision.
I was going to say, obviously after the incident, Elahi fled the scene.
Yes.
What happened to the car and where was he arrested?
He was arrested when he returned to Sheffield. The car has not been recovered.
Did he give himself up?
We made a number of inquiries and he came forward.
He came forward.
He came forward with a family member, yes.
Yeah.
And your reaction to his plea of guilty today?
I'm pleased. It's it makes sense. There is an overwhelming depth of evidence that supports the prosecution. It's a logical conclusion. I accept, as the investigating officer, that's something that people would expect me to say. But it really was. You know, we weren't going in with fingers crossed on this one, thinking it may or it may not be. This was a very clear-cut case in terms of the information we did have, the standard of driving that was recorded. This wasn't an ambiguous one. This was dangerous driving.
When he did come forward, that was the day after the family had made the appeal. Did that make a difference to him coming forward?
It's always difficult to know, because it's personal actions that actually mean somebody takes that final step, gets in a car and is driven and comes to a police station. I can't tell you what that final factor was. I do think that the overwhelming level of public and media interest made a significant difference, and it really underlined the point that nobody was prepared to just accept that a 14-year-old girl can die on our roads within our city like this. So I do think it's important. The point at which it made an impact, I can't tell you that, I'm afraid.
And the community response since Jasmine's death, what's that been like?
The immediate aftermath was there for everyone to see. Jasmine was a very popular girl. She made a difference in the community. She was well liked by numerous friends. And bear in mind, other people suffered as well. Jasmine's consequences were tragic, but there were other people who were injured. There were other people who felt really shocked. So some of that goes on. And there's still discussions about that road and about other roads. These are ongoing discussions that happen with the local authority, with the police, and with the community. This isn't the closure of all the incidents. The whole point is that we have to learn from this and try and prevent the next one, which is why we carry on with campaigns, why we carry on dealing with the main causes of the fatal collisions. So that work will still be ongoing. But it does underline that that if you take that risk, if you're prepared to be selfish enough to disregard other people, that the community is not going to stand behind you. And that's quite an important message to get across.